You're listening to the Geekcast Radio Network of podcasts.
You're listening to Geekcast Radio on geekcastradio.com.
Hello and welcome to Geekcast Radio episode 28. I am one of your hosts, Steve Joe and Mike, and joining me is Steve Megatron. Hello.
Good day.
And I think this is his first episode on Geekcast Radio podcast. Optobotomus, hello, sir.
Hi, how are you?
Pretty good. How are you guys doing?
Oh.
Good.
He's good. I'm kind of gassy.
Yeah, that's not really anything we really need to know. Thank you very much.
You know.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, shit happens.
Yeah.
Exactly. Literally.
Sometimes.
So, what's been going on with you, Optobotomus?
Oh. Nothing? Can I say nothing? I'm not that exciting. I'm really not that exciting.
Okay. Steve, what's been going on with you?
Finally got the final component person for Dark Glass to actually submit their shit. So, yeah, that was quite nice. And they're spot on. Literally. Great. Which is nice.
For Rampage, you mean?
Yes.
Great. That's awesome.
Yes.
Okay. Yes, and for Paul, who doesn't know, Dark Glass is the fan project that Steve is working on with a bunch of other people.
I think I know what it's in. Is it in reference to something that...
It's Beast Wars.
Yeah, that existed.
It's referencing the unaired episode.
Yeah, it's referencing the unaired episode of Beast Wars. And again, only because it's like a half a line, I didn't really mention this before the show... back on August 1st of this year, Geekcast Radio Podcast got a new review. Five star review says, great podcast from Brad045. A great podcast just like all the others. It's nice to listen to people who truly have a passion for what they talk about and who don't try to be so PC with it. Yes, we are an explicit network. I've told this story before. When Steve and I set up the Geekcast Radio Network, I said... I'm making podcasts for geeks. I'm not making podcasts for kids, so we will curse.
many times.
Yes. Many, many, many times.
Kiss my ass, so what?
Hey, Bert.
Let's I don't got no damn receipt.
These are Cocoa Pebbles.
Let's not even go there. And today... we're going to be talking about the evolution of renting movies from video stores to online media consumption and more. We're also going to explore the death of the brick-and-mortar video stores.
Oh, sad.
Now, the way that we're going to do this is we're each going to go. We're each going to give like a little bit of a story, or we're just going to have a discussion really in this first part about, you know, growing up as kids and just, you know, either getting to go to the video store or, you know, having your parents come home with new movies every couple of nights or whatever it was.
I got really good stories.
Oh Lord.
That scares me.
That scares me.
Well, come on now.
For me, going to the video store was just like going to the movie theater. It was an experience in the 80s. It was one of those things where... you know, say I got a great report card or whatever, I would get to go to the video store and pick out three movies. Aww. You know, something like that. And I do remember the two movies in the one video store that we always used to rent from. It was a local store up in Massachusetts called Adventure in Video. the two movies we would always rent after they came out, I believe it was late 86, early 87, two movies that I ended up watching so many times that the VHS tapes broke was Transformers the Movie and He-Man and She-Ra the Secret of the Sword. I had my mom rent those so many times that the actual VHS tapes wore out.
They wore out?
They wore out. They broke.
That isn't good. You're not supposed to do that to your stuff, sir.
Well, I watched it. So I rented them so many times and watched them so many times. Yeah.
Well, then.
What about you, Steve?
As far as first experience with video forms?
Yeah.
I used to have a crap load of VHS tapes between, like, Ninja Turtles and all different shows similar to that back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Which I believe my mom still has at her house with their VHS VCR. Yeah. I don't have a VCR anymore, but... Yes.
Let's take a trip down memory lane and a little trivia. Can either of you tell me what VCR stands for?
Video cassette recorder.
All right. I was just asking.
Now I don't actually know this, but I remember beta tapes. What the hell did beta stand for?
Bastardized equipment that ass flopped.
Okay, there you go.
There you go. I don't think it was an acronym for anything.
Yeah.
Yet.
Yeah. What about you, Paul? What was your experience growing up?
Well, here's the wonderful thing. This is where I was saying that I got some good stories because my grandparents, my mom's parents, actually owned a video store up till... I want to say the mid to late 90s. So mm-hmm. I was always privy to anytime, and it was even still true to this day. Video stores would always get new releases ahead of the actual release date. For example, you know, if they were still around, Transformers: Dark of the Moon, say it's released tomorrow, video stores usually have it a week or so before the actual release date for the movies. So I would always, my mom would always bring, you know, because I was too young and she worked at the video store with my grandparents. She would always bring home random movies and things of that nature. And one of the most exciting times was growing up, obviously Transformer fan that I am. I never, at that time, I don't think I was old enough to really know what was going on or anything. I don't remember seeing Transformers in the movie theater or even know that they were making a Transformers movie. But she brought it home and she's like, come here, we got something I want you to watch. I'm like, okay. Put it down and stuck it in the VCR player. We sat there and as it started and when the opening scene just popped up, I was like, oh my God. And it was like this most exciting thing in the world because it was something new from Transformers. And we would always, my sister and I, on weekends, we would always go there because, like I said, my mom would work and she would take us with her to work. And my grandpa's video store was also a little tiny appliance store and he would always sell VCRs or TVs and things like that. So we would always randomly just walk throughout the video store and some of our fondest memories, my sister and I, would be picking movies off of the shelf, cheesy 80 movies, you know, Gotcha, Breakfast Club. I mean, just random movies. We would just pick up and we'd put them in the VCR in my grandparents' video store and sit there and on weekends just watch a whole bunch of movies. And that's some of my most fun times when I was a kid.
Very awesome. Very awesome. Yeah, we ended up switching to a bunch of different video stores. We actually... there was another video store in Massachusetts that was local to the area. I think I've always at the time from back then to now, I had always resisted Blockbuster. Blockbuster to me back in the 80s was the devil.
Yeah,
they still are.
I have never really cared for Blockbuster. The video stores here in Louisville, the other ones were like Movie Gallery and Hollywood Video and, you know, stuff like that. And I preferred those over Blockbuster.
Speaking of the whole thing, one of their slogans, Blockbusters, was it was always, wow, what a difference, Blockbuster Video. I remember that jingle from when they first started, and they started around the time that my grandpa was considering selling the video store, because they were the first kind of large chain. And he was smart back then. I remember my grandpa saying that small mom and pop video stores are going to be gone because of Blockbuster. So I naturally hated Blockbuster because I'm like, they're the ones that are going to put my grandparents out of business.
Yeah.
It was really bad.
Yeah, it was founded in 1985.
Yeah. Long time ago. But now I find it amusing because now here we are several years later and they're going out of business because of something, another technology that's come around that I'm sure we'll get to later on.
Yep. And
so it makes me happy.
Yeah. According to Wikipedia, they are now a subsidiary of Dish Network.
Yeah. Dish Network bought them, in 2010, I think.
Yeah. They bought them last year.
They bought them out and then And I think they paid like a very little amount for it.
They didn't pay much.
Well, yeah, exactly. But they're closing a bunch of them down. And I think I remember hearing that they're only going to keep like 400 nationwide open or something like that.
Yeah, I think I heard something like that.
As things like Netflix and Redbox and things of that nature come around and are more prevalent, I'm sure that number will even dwindle down.
Oh yeah.
But I remember Blockbuster when Netflix kind of first started doing their thing. I remember Blockbuster having a similar thing with that, which I always thought was kind of a good idea because you could sign up for like their Blockbuster plan or whatever, and you can get a movie sent to you from them, much like Netflix. But you can then take it to the actual Blockbuster store and trade it out for another movie, which I thought was a neat idea. That's something that Redbox kind of picked up on and kind of went along with, and Netflix and him, you know, Redbox, Redbox, I think, is just a better overall system, I suppose. There's hardly any overhead. You have a box, and it's there. You don't have to worry about anything. So, I don't know. I like it.
Yeah.
Even though I don't actually have it, I do have Netflix.
Steve, any other stories about watching stuff as a kid?
Not necessarily as a kid, but my wife used to work for Blockbuster.
Oh, really?
years ago. And the thing we loved was we got movies before they came out, sometimes as much as 2 to 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And so we would watch everything, you know, that we wanted. She'd get 6 free rentals a week, I believe. And pretty much she hated the whole concept of how much everything cost there. And because they were always screwing her over because they treated their employees like shit, she would deflect people to Family Video where they could save over 2 times the amount of money.
Yep.
And, yeah, so we've never actually used Blockbuster since. We pretty much go to Family Video if we're going to actually go to a video store.
Yeah.
Or we use Redbox, Bluebox if we've got coupons for it, and then we, of course, have Netflix.
Yeah. With Blockbuster specifically, and I'm sure
this has become like a Blockbuster bash.
No, well, I mean, like... Not really, but okay. Any major chain video store, Blockbuster, Hollywood Video, Movie Gallery, any of the big major chains that used to be everywhere. Every time I would go in there, the new release rentals would be anywhere from $4.02 to $5.99. It just depended on how new it was. If it was 6 months old, if it was like a week old, it just depended. So, you know, say you're a family of four, you want to get, you know, two or three movies apiece. Say they're $5 each. That's $15 right there for just movies. And of course, say you have your kids with you. Kids are going to be like, oh, I want candy, I want candy, I want candy. Going to Blockbuster or any of the major video chains, it's almost just like going to the movie theaters because you're paying so much because all of the candy and everything else was so just as expensive in Blockbuster and Hollywood Video as it was at the actual movie theater.
And that was always something that did annoy me because – I don't know if you guys know or if anybody else knows, but the majority of money that is made by a movie theater is made through the concession stands.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they have to pay a lot of money to get a movie to be able to show it in their theater. So all their money that they make, you know, to pay their employees and all that stuff comes from concessions. So it never really bugged me too much that, you know, a big old thing of soda costs you $6 or whatever. But then, yeah, like you said, you walk into a regular movie store and you're paying $3, $4 for a 20-ounce soda. I'm like, what? And that always bugged me.
Yeah. Kind of switching gears a little bit, I want to switch to online, like iTunes and Amazon and, you know, stuff like that. Not really specifically Netflix. We'll talk about that a little bit later, but for me, the first two places I look if it's not on Netflix or if I can't get it from Redbox is iTunes or Amazon. Sometimes I will just rent movies through iTunes just because it's just, you know, if it's something I want to watch right then and there and it's just that easy, I'll do that. Amazon, the same thing. Like if iTunes doesn't have it, I'll go to Amazon. There's only a few movies – actually, there's probably more than a few. But there's only been a number of movies over the years that I've actually bought and actually have in my iTunes library. Most of the stuff I just rent. But with Redbox getting a lot of the new releases, sometimes I would much rather pay $1.06 than $3.17 after tax. I would rather pay $1.06 to Redbox than $3.17 to iTunes or Amazon. And the greatest thing about Redbox now is if you sign up on their website and you have your account there, you can pick and choose your movies and check out online, and they'll just say, hey, you know, take this credit, you know, take the credit card you use or whatever, go to the kiosk and just pick them up. You don't even have to stand there at the kiosk saying, oh, I wonder, let's see, Law Dogs and Slumdog Millionaire, you know what I mean? You don't have to stand there at the kiosk and choose what movie you want. Steve, what do you think about, like, the online stuff, like iTunes and Amazon and stuff like that? Do you even use that kind of stuff?
My personal view on it is I dislike renting a movie online because I feel like I'm throwing my money away. I like to have the physical disc in front of me. I don't want to sit there and watch it on my PC.
Yeah.
Which is why I use Netflix, because I have a Blu-ray player that streams directly to my TV.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I mean, I kind of agree if, you know, if you're going to pay now I do have a couple TV series that I'll subscribe to through either iTunes or Amazon. But in terms of movies, if I'm going to buy a movie or if I want to watch a movie, I'm just going to buy it as opposed to renting it. I mean, if you pay, I mean, depending on what it is, if it's a new release, you can rent a movie for $2.99 or whatever on iTunes, or you can buy the movie for $9.99 on iTunes. So I have a limited number of those ones on there. I like having them just in case I'm traveling somewhere and I can put them on my iPhone and have something to watch. But even at that now, with Netflix, and I'm new to the whole Netflix thing. I just only recently signed up to it.
Oh, man.
I'm using the hell out of it. My wife is downstairs right now watching Star Trek Voyager on Netflix, and I have the Netflix app on my iPhone, so every now and then I'll be laying in bed, I'll put on an episode of King of the Hill, and I'll watch that while I'm laying in bed, getting ready to fall asleep. So it's a wonderful thing. I don't get the discs through Netflix, because like Steve, I just stream it through my TV, specifically through my 360. I have a Blu-ray player, but I don't know why I do it through my 360. Because I don't know. But I mean, I think it's good. Like I said, I have cartoons. My Transformers Prime, I get through iTunes. I get the new Thundercats through Amazon, which actually kind of bugs me because, like, the day that I signed up for it through Amazon, the next day they released it on iTunes. And
oh, did they?
Yeah. The thing that sucks about that is you can't watch Amazon video through your iTunes. So I download them and I have them, but I can't put them into my iTunes, so I can't actually put them on my actual iPhone or anything like that, and it annoys me a little bit with that. But like I said, that was literally the next day after I signed up for it, they released it in iTunes. I'm like, well, that sucks.
Yeah, it was actually because I bought the third episode from Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
And because it wasn't on iTunes yet, I'm like, well, why isn't it on iTunes yet? Damn it! And yeah. Now that it is, it's like, oh yeah, I'll so be getting that season pass when it.
And like, I mean, having my movies and stuff on there, it doesn't bug me quite as much. And I think I always told you this, Mike, that because you would watch the Transformers Prime stuff on YouTube or something, and I'm like, I'd rather watch it in HD on my big screen TV, you know, and with my iPhone, I have the adapter, so right. I can plug my iPhone right into my TV, and I can watch movies and TV shows that I put onto my iPhone. I can watch it on my regular television.
Yeah, the only issue I have with the iTunes stuff for like Transformers Prime and that kind of stuff, even the standard definition, not even the high definition, even the standard definition, the season passes for cartoons. The standard definition is like $39.99. The high def is $49.99 for one season, which is going to be, in Transformers Prime's case, 26 episodes. $50 for 26 episodes, that's a little much.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean that's a little much. But I see what you're saying about that, and I do, you know, if, you know, the hub would actually have their channel on a cable package, I could actually channel.
I have a higher cable package, but my I have Time Warner Cable. They don't even offer the hub in HD. So wow. I never catch the episodes on TV, but even if I did, they wouldn't be in HD, and I like watching them in HD. So yeah. I have the option with iTunes to get them in HD, and you know, then I can put them on my TV, which is designed for that, and I can actually enjoy it a little bit more.
What about you, Steve, as far as Redbox? Have you really ever tried using – do you use Redbox at all?
Actually, I use it quite frequently. I'm going to use it a lot more, too, granted, because at the end of the month, Netflix is charging almost double what they charge now for the streaming and the one disc out at a time.
Right.
No, they're not – no.
Yeah, they are. If you're a new subscriber, you're already paying that.
If you're an existing customer, the streaming stays. If you
that's what I'm getting at. If you have the one disc at a time and streaming right now, it's double in price unless you drop it.
You have both. You have the streaming and the See,
and I'm going to be at the end of the month getting rid of the one disc at a time because I only get two discs a week and I can go to Netflix. Or not Netflix, Redbox, and get what I want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I first heard about Netflix, it was before they had the online streaming. It was DVDs by the mail. The same thing with like GameFly and
Blockbuster.
And Blockbuster and all this other. Like Paul said earlier, Blockbuster, at least if you got the DVD by the mail, you could take it into the store to exchange it. That's great. But Netflix, DVDs through the mail, it just makes no sense to me. I understand some people don't like to watch stuff on their computer. But as Paul said and as Steve said before, Netflix has apps and streaming just like just like Apple and iTunes does. So you could stream it to your phone, you could stream it to your television, you could stream it other places. You don't have to sit at your computer. But for me, because I don't have that capability at this moment, I sit here and I watch stuff on my computer. That's just the way I do it. But I just don't understand the Netflix DVD by the mail. And the thing about, as Steve mentioned, the thing about the DVD at a time, I read a news article that cost goes up. Say you want, it's like I said a while ago about, you know, going to the video store and getting two or three movies for 5 days. Say you want to do that for Netflix, or not, yeah. Say you want to do that for Netflix. Say you want to get three movies for one night. Each movie with this new DVD pricing plan that they have, each movie is going to cost you additional money. So say you have out four movies, that's probably going to cost you like $20.
I just remember, for those
four.
That's stupid.
It's going to be $16 for one disc at a time and streaming, and then it goes up to like $24. Or $30 for three discs out at a time in streaming. Which is no different than Blockbusters, but you get like two out at a time and no streaming. So, I mean, I guess it's kind of better, but the amount of time you have to wait to get the new releases on Netflix is almost not worth getting them, unless you're getting the old releases that you have a hard time with. And even then, when you get the disc by mail, half the time they're, any, especially anymore, they're either scratched, cracked, or just unwatchable.
Yep.
Yeah, that was something that always kind of worried me. I mean, one of the biggest things for going towards this whole DVD by mail thing was, you know, the ploy, I suppose, was rent movies, keep them as long as you want, there's no late fees, blah, 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 blah. And that's all well and good, but... I mean, and like I said, the Blockbuster thing was a little bit better because at least you could return those right there and get something new when you were done with it. You know, with the whole Netflix, it's like, okay, I watched the movie. Now I got to return it. Now I got to wait a couple days for something else that I want. And it was so when the whole Redbox thing came around, I was like, that's kind of like a merger of the best ideas. And That's why I've always said that Netflix and all that stuff, if Netflix doesn't completely get rid of their whole DVD thing and just go towards the streaming thing, they'll be put out of business by Redbox in no time.
I can see that, but at the same time, not really, just because Netflix, the way they do their whole thing. I mean, Blockbuster just had everything kind of ass backwards anyway, and then they jumped too late in the game.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
But I think this is going to hurt Netflix having raised the prices so drastically.
Yeah, that'll probably hurt more, yeah.
And I think more people will end up going back to like their Family Videos or their Blockbusters, which are now dropping their prices on everything, and then the Redbox, Bluebox, whatever.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, Redbox is great for the movies that I just don't initially care about. Specifically, I can think of like when Wolverine came out, X-Men Origins. I just didn't care enough to even see it in the theater. I didn't care enough to see it, you know, when it first came out. I saw it like, I don't know, a month, 2 months after, and I just went to Redbox and I said, oh, hey, cool. There you go. $1. That's it. And the greatest thing about the Redbox stuff is, there's kiosks everywhere for the most part. I mean, unless you live in the middle of freaking nowhere, I'm sure there's at least two Redbox kiosks by almost anyone.
But even in the middle of nowhere, that middle of nowhere, somewhere close to it has a Walmart that probably has a Redbox.
True. Very, very true.
And I found Speedways have blue boxes, generally.
What's blue box?
It's Blockbuster's Redbox.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Very cool. Switching over to Netflix, specifically for me, for instance, I don't watch Netflix for movies. I watch Netflix for old TV shows and cartoons.
I mean, like I said, I'm new to the whole Netflix thing. I've watched a couple that I don't have. Now, see, another thing is I'm a movie buyer. I like... when a movie comes out, I like going out and I like buying the movie. I mean, whether it be through Amazon where I pre-order the movies so that when it comes out, I have it. I mean, usually if a movie comes out that I'm really excited about, even older ones, I'll go to a store and I'll buy it. So Netflix, I'll watch. I just watched the Jetsons movie on Netflix last night because I don't have that movie, and I was flipping through, and it's got like recommended selections.
Yeah.
And I saw that, I'm like, oh my god, I haven't seen that forever. So I sat there and I watched it last night, and it's some movies don't hold up as well as you remember they did as a kid. But yeah, I mean, every now and then I'll watch a movie through it. But
and I agree with you to a certain extent, Paul. I was very much a DVD buyer, mostly TV shows on DVD, and I'd also buy movies as well. Last year I had to end up selling my entire DVD collection. I had like, I don't know, over 500 DVDs that I had to sell off. So I mean, at this point, I don't want to have to start that collection again, so I would much rather wait until it's on Netflix or until it shows up in iTunes or something like that. So
that's a smart way of doing it.
Yeah. Yep, yep. And the death of the video store, the brick-and-mortar stores, I mean,
killed the radio star.
It's yeah, Netflix killed the video store. That's
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, you know, with services like Netflix and Redbox, there's no need. I mean, Redbox essentially is your video store. I mean, as I said before, if you sign up for their website, you have an account, you know, you have your credit card attached to the account, and that's that. You go through, you pick what selections you want. Like, if you want to watch two movies in one night, you just pick them. You check out online. You go to the, you know, you either drive or you, like, in my case, I have a kiosk that's, like, right across the street from my apartment building. So just walk across the street, pick it up, and walk home. You know, that's it.
You lazy fuck.
What? I'm walking. How the hell can you call me a lazy fuck when I'm walking across the street?
Because most people don't actually walk across the street. They drive.
That's right. Exactly. How dare you walk? Get in your damn car. He doesn't have a car.
It's a good thing I don't have a car, because me driving, oh my god, people would not want... If you guys saw how I drive in Need for Speed...
I'm happy.
If you guys saw like I drive in Need for Speed or Grand Theft Auto, you would not want me on the road. I would end up driving through a building before I would actually drive correctly.
Lovely.
Mike's theme anyway. Song would be "Let the Bodies Hit the Floor" while he's driving.
That would be right. Awesome. That would be awesome.
That is so right. Now, do you guys think, Steve? Do you think that Blockbuster or any video store chain can make some sort of comeback?
It's hard to say. The ones that are already pretty much established, I think that they'll do decent. Like, Family Video is expanding, but they also have cheap prices, and they have incentives for people that, you know, don't have time to go. Like, for instance, every probably 2-3 months, I get a phone call from various Family Videos that I've had accounts at because they aren't linked together. And they give you, like, 2 weeks of half-off rentals, and they give you one new release. But they also have different incentives on different days, whereas Blockbuster rapes your eyes out for new releases, and certain old releases are 99 cents, but most of the stuff is still pretty much full price, which is close to $5. And I think I see Blockbuster more so failing in ones that are high-priced. And some of the smaller ones, too, just because Netflix, Redbox are pretty much dominating.
Yes, they are.
I think at some point in time, brick-and-mortar video stores are going to be gone. I honestly could see it happening within, say, the next 5 years, only because...
It's already happened now. I'm sorry to say it.
Well, yeah, but I mean... I mean, there are still, you know, video stores that you can go to. You got to find them, but you know, it's slowly changing. I think within the next 5 years they'll pretty much be gone, and it'll be absolutely dominated by. Now, that's not to say that, you know, Blockbuster won't evolve into a I don't know, what do you call it, Steve, the blue box or whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think companies like that will evolve into something, but brick and mortar stores, I think, are going to be gone, mostly because streaming videos is still a fairly, well, not too new, but it's still fairly new-ish, and I think more people will jump on that bandwagon, and it'll slowly kind of replace any kind of video renting, whether it be, you know, Blue Box or Red Box or whatever the case may be. I think streaming is going to be the thing of the future.
Yes, it most likely will be.
I have seen the future.
I know. You are not in it.
That's right. Mike. Asshole.
That's funny. Oh, Lord. All right. So, do we have anything else we want to talk about for this one?
Your mama.
Kind of hit everything.
Your mama.
Steve.
Boom. Headshot.
All right. So, we will be back after this intermission. Emerging from the dark humor that was the Beast Unleashed podcast, Steve Megatron, TFG1 Mike, Pecan Court Michael, and the Cybertronian correspondent Optimus Solo move on to Transformers Animated with Transformation Animation Podcast. 20 episodes covering all three seasons of the cartoon, the books, and the awesome toy line. We will also have cast and crew interviews, so get tapped with GCRN's next Transformers franchise podcast, Transformation Animation Podcast, available on iTunes and the web at www.geekcastradio.com. Get your tap on.
Decepticons, transform and rise up.
Movie Week in Review is the Geekcast Radio Network's weekly movie podcast. Steve and Mike take a look back on their favorite films and give you their thoughts. They also bring in co-hosts at times. If you are a movie buff, listen to MWire only on geekcastradio.com.
Welcome to my throne room, fugitives. The Beast Unleashed podcast is over, not gone. You can hear more of this great podcast discussing all the episodes of Beast Wars and Beast Machines on GeekCastRadio.com. We include voice actor and writer interviews with stellar hosting by Steve, Mike, and Michael. Head on over to iTunes or the net, or else I will send you my vehicles to extract your spark and destroy you. Yes.
Do you like retro shows? Did you grow up in either the 80s or the 90s? Then tune into Telecast, GeekCastRadio.com's newest podcast. Join us here on the Telecast as we revisit some of your favorite shows, such as Clarissa Explains It All, Salute Your Shorts, Saved by the Bell, and much, much more, only on GeekCastRadio.com.
Thank you for joining us here on GeekCast Radio. There's always getting in contact with us, early feedback for the show. Before we get to that, Optibonimus, tell us about your online presence, your YouTube, your Twitter, your Facebook, your
my presence, huh?
Yes.
Well, and anybody who is interested, they can watch various video reviews of yours truly at youtube.com/Optibonimus, or you could follow me on Twitter, and that's twitter.com/Optibonimus. My Facebook, I don't even actually know what my Facebook is.
I think the page is facebook.com/teambottomus.
That sounds right. We're going to go with that. or if you just go to my YouTube, on the main channel, I have all the links there, so you can stalk me in whatever way is
pleasurable to you.
Whatever you like, you may do, but you're not allowed to have my home address because that's really creepy.
I've got it, but anyway, visit the website,
geekcastradio.com. Which really makes me nervous.
Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. Again, thank you to the new review person that left us a review on iTunes. Follow us on Twitter. The show name there is Geekcaster Radio. Mine is Steve, Joe, and Mike. Steve, what is your Twitter?
SCP21.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/geekcasterradionetwork. Call the voicemail line. Tell us the show you're leaving a message for and your name. 502-526-5821. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Geekcast Radio. Wish you'll join us next time when we'll be talking about social networking. Wow.
Jesus.
For now, I am TFG1 Mike with...
Steve Megatron Phillips.
Ooh, that Steve Megatron Phillips. That sounds a lot better than me. Optobotomus.
Thank you for listening. Until next time. He's like all dejected and shit.
Like that. Well, that sounds a whole lot better. It's like, this is Steve Megatron Phillips. And I'm like, you know, I'm Optobotomus.
From the Cybernet Space Cube.
Yeah. Oh, God, no.